the truth should have came out really 100 years ago. You know, if we lived in a, and if we truly lived in a free and open society, or quote democracy, what a joke that is. Then it would have been known, you know, the crashes that happened would have become public knowledge. You know, the ongoing study would have become, the ongoing contact would have been public knowledge. But because we live in a monopolistic corporate, you know, society that is, for all intents and purposes, run by the United Corporate fucking States of America.
Right, right.
And their stronghold on this planet, particularly when it comes to industry, then it's been kept secret. And it's really been kept secret for that sole reason, for control.
Yeah.
You know, not because they care about whether you learn ET exists or 1,000 ETs exist, just, you know, in our little part of the galaxy.
It's dominance.
It's about control, you know. Because what will happen when you learn that the craft that ET has been flying in on never needed fuel? Mm. And we figured out how to do that 75 years ago. So all the electric bills, all the gas bills, basically all the bills you've been paying have been for naught.
Yeah, and I think the consequences echo even wider than that if you think about... you know, you look at the 1950s and the 1960s and gravity research, electrogravitics, field propulsion. Yeah. This was actually considered to be the next logical step. Even in mainstream physics journals, they were talking about this being the next logical step in energy and propulsion.
Yeah.
You had, you know, scientists and labs all over the country working on this kind of stuff. And then it gets shut down. Then it gets taken out. Iron curtain of secrecy falls down on this whole thing. And I think that if you really think about evolutionary dynamics, what does that do to an evolving species? I feel like there was a transition period we were supposed to be doing. It was like, look, these fossil fuels, these oils, they're here for you to utilize for a certain amount of time. And then it's time to move on to the next thing. But because there was a national security imperative put down on these technologies and they were kept back from the public, what do we have now? We have resource wars, we have scarcity, we have poverty, we have violence, and we have aggression, and we have territorialism. And it's getting worse and worse. And you just think to yourself, like, well, if, you know, the Nikola Tesla technologies, if these kind of technologies were allowed to come into normal global development, would we still be in the same position we're in now? I would say absolutely not.
No,
I think the 2000s, the years of the 2000s would be entirely space age.
Dude, the society that was imagined, I think, by many in the 50s and 60s, you know, you see those beautiful cityscapes,
with
the flying cars,
the Jetsons dream.
You know, and I really honestly believe that we would have realized that even by this year, 2024, because that they've had the technology really since at least 54, you know, by all my research and records. And, you know, you have Ben Rich from Lockheed basically admitting it. And I talked to Michael Schrad about this.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, Mike, look at this article I found. You know, look at all these magazines talking about how that's what they call the anti-gravitics. Obviously, it's a little more complex than simply being an anti-gravitic.
Of course.
But it's the next thing. It seemed inevitable. And it was going to revolutionize the aerospace industry. And then it disappeared, literally disappeared. It went from being the most heralded, talked about thing for about 3-4 years, and then was fucking nixed. And you can research that. You can, you know, bang your head about what, well, I wonder, maybe they just couldn't do it. No, they had done it. They had already done it. It's been worked on since the 20s, you know, with the Brown Byfield effect.
T-Towns and Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
So it's just a shame because if people realize, and I say this all the time, if they realized the implication and what they were missing and what life could be if you didn't have a force in place to continue the energy and the conflicts and the wars, then this planet would not look the way it does. And that would be a reason for people to demand this, you know?
So switching interviewer roles for a minute, where do you, like this whole concept of the phenomenon holding the cards and being able to essentially, you know, create disclosure itself? Why has it not done that? Is it just because we're not prepared? You know, you're talking about, and I agree with you, all of these symptoms of the secrecy, all of these problems that are dragging us down, these things that could be answered, these potential futures that could be lived today if we were embracing it. Why don't they stop it?
this is the million-dollar question,
right?
And you know, I'm not going to lie. I read something about 6 months ago that really kind of it was a real mind bender to me because I had never thought about it like that, and it resonated with me, and I was surprised how much it resonated with me. But someone had wrote, if these beings continue to be complicit in the secrecy, then they are part of the problem.
Mm.
And I thought, wow.
That's an interesting take, right? That's an interesting take.
You know, and then I thought, yeah, but if they can see that what will happen if they're the ones that break the secrecy is complete and utter fucking global chaos, then they have every reason to be trepidatious and hesitant about, you know.
Or we consider them as our gods and we stop evolving.
I mean,
because we just expect them to solve our problems, right?
Or we go into our typical habitual you know, here, you know,
finally tell someone's us what come to save us. Yeah, a new savior, right? A new savior. I mean, like, it's, I know it's Star Trek, but the Prime Directive is quite an interesting idea. This idea of like, no, you have to let a civilization evolve. You know, a lot of people talk about the USA and USSR nuclear situations when, you know, missiles were getting shut down and turned on, shut down and turned on. And I always kind of posit that as a kind of almost a lesson being shown to us. Like, yeah, you didn't like it when that was about to happen, did you? So don't do it. But then people say, well, what about Hiroshima and Nagasaki and things like this, right? And I was like, well, maybe we have to fuck up. You know, we have to make mistakes. We have to do this trauma. And I think about my own life and I think about the traumas and, like, you know, bad things that have happened.
Oh, yeah.
And again, reflecting back, you see the benefit, like those abduction experiences where you reflect back and you go, actually, that traumatic experience, I understand it better now. I see the lesson in it. So I think individually we experience that and collectively we experience that. So maybe there are certain trauma points that are necessary for evolution. They understand this. They're not going to involve themselves in those matters. But again, this is all just speculation because we don't know. They haven't told us.
No, they haven't. And so it's on us to intuit.
It is.
And surmise and listen to, you know, what we can only, not letting the mental, but really letting it come from, I think, the heart, you know.
Right.
And
right.
And there absolutely is something about what you're saying. You know, we learn from mistakes. The biggest lessons in my life have been from the darkest parts of
my
past. And that's in a way, I think that is the way the universe works. And if a civilization and a species is going to come through a physical reality,
mm-hmm.
particularly one with our, in my belief, you know, complex genetics, then it's, you know, the path may not be as easy as everyone hopes.
No.
And it, look, I it's not like I don't believe this is unique to our world. You know, I think that these are the axioms and choices.
The rules of the game almost, you know.
And I, part of me truly believes that there is absolutely a protocol and an etiquette that must be followed, you know, and that there, of course, there has to be a galactic federation that is keeping an eye on things.
Mm.
Because it only makes sense, you know, it's particularly for a planet like this, that has our genetics, you know, and with that genetics comes a lot of different, civilizations that, you know, believe they have a right to put their, you know, stick their monkey wrench in things and see how it's going. And well, you know, we're part of this experiment too. We have a right, you know. Some of that could be ours. And so it's complicated, but there's free will, right?
Yeah.
There's that.
I kind of see it, I guess, similar to how Terence McKenna posited it, which is that you're being channeled through high walls, but there's movability. So you can do whatever you want as you're being channeled towards the ultimate destination, right? So we can all decide how we want to behave in life, how we want to act, how fast or slow we grow. But the destination, at least in my opinion, is always the same. Yep. There's, you know, you're going to be fine ultimately. It's just how much of a rough ride are you going to give yourself on your way back, you know?